This evening, would you turn with me as we look at 1 Samuel chapter 1? 1 Samuel chapter 1 this evening in your Bibles, this evening, I thought I said this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 1, and happy Mother's Day. This is part 2, the two mothers with unmet expectations, and we're going to look here. Particularly, we'll read verse 5 and following. There's a question for you, an illustration. Will your children go to heaven? One congregation found that there were both parents, that where both parents were faithful to the Lord, including active interest in the local congregation's programs, 93% of the kids remained faithful. On the other hand, if only one of the parents was faithful, that figure dropped to 73%. Where the parents were only what we would call reasonably active in the Lord's work, only 53% of the young people maintained their faith. Now here comes a shocker. In those cases where both parents attended only infrequently, the percentage of their children who remained faithful to the Lord dropped to 6%. Want your children to go to heaven? Make certain you are leading them. End quotes. And this evening, we're going to be looking at Hannah here in 1 Samuel chapter 1. We spoke about Peninnah this morning in her ungodly way of dealing with the unmet expectations she wanted to love of Elkanah. So here in verse 4, 1 Samuel 1, and when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughter and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. And therefore she wept and did not eat. And then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed in the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah's She spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunk and put away thy wine from thee? And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. And Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou wast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat. Hannah's going to have a child here, and God promises for her. Both of these ladies, both Peninnah and Hannah, had unmet expectations. Hannah thought she could have a child, and she was without a child for some time, and she was in bitterness of spirit. And we'll talk more about that. We spoke about Peninnah this morning. She was religious, but selfish. And this evening, we're going to study Hannah's faith. It is a faith that ultimately responds correctly to the criticism and unmet expectations. It is a faith that goes to the Lord. Now, the question this evening is, how do you deal with life when everyone else seems to have what you desire and you're left empty? We're going to speak about and discuss the proper way to manage these hurts and how to trust the Lord, as seen through the life of a mother. We must not allow unmet expectations to be the guide to selfish behavior. Be the example of godliness your children deserve to afford them the richest future. Let's go to the Lord and ask for His blessing upon this time, and we'll commence our study. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for this day. Father, I thank You for Your wonderful grace. Father, as we come to Your Word this evening, I need Your help. Pray, Lord, that You give the thoughts and the words that ought to be spoken. Father, I also pray for comfort and encouragement. For those who are watching, Lord, I pray for their strength. Lord, I pray that You draw us closer to Thyself. And Lord, Hannah went through some very hard times. There were some times that she dealt with him incorrectly, but she finally came to her place. And Hannah had a great heritage because she realized some certain things. And so, Father, as we study your holy word this evening, I pray, Father, that you'd help us to like fashion to follow the faith of Hannah. God, I thank you for all that you'll do and have done. We commit this time to thee. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. A woman who kept on praying. When you think about Hannah, verse 6 and 7, her adversary provoked her sore to make her fret. Hannah was constantly harangued by her opponent because of being barren. Verses 5 and 6, it notes very clearly the Lord had shut up her womb. We see an error on Hannah's and Elkanah's behalf in that they did not go to the Lord on behalf of a child. Now, Peninnah's provocation, Hannah was put into great duress of mind and body, and she felt the weight of not carrying on the family name and being able to give her husband a child, which was a cultural stigma. Eugene Merrill, in his commentary, he says, because a Hebrew man's posterity, or his continuance of his name, was bound up in his having a son to perpetuate his name, his wife's inability to conceive a son was regarded as a curse from God. According to Deuteronomy 7:13-14, having children was a sign of God's blessing. Conversely, the Israelites considered the inability to bear children as a curse, end quotes. And so we see that Hannah is so grieved that she cannot have a child. And her emotions, we're going to look at several of these here in verse 7, because of unmet expectations. We find in verse 7, and that she wept at the end of verse 7. And that is a word there, if you were to look it up, to weep bitterly, to bewail, to lament. It's in the imperfect tense and means her intense weeping was a continual problem throughout her life. Her husband asked her why she's depressed, why she's crying. Not only that, in verse 6, it also notes to make her fret. Hannah struggled with fretting. This word fretting is to thunder, to rage, to tremble. She was upset, very angry. So instead of lashing out at Peninnah, she internalizes it and begins to just weep and cry and get angry. She also had, in verse 8, and why is thy heart grieved? That word here means to tremble and be displeased. In the imperfect tense, she feels this way. Now you do find this word in verse 16 as well, but it's a different word. Anger, vexation, frustration. Hannah was struggling with these emotions in her heart. She's like you and I. There's times with these unmet expectations. We have all of these negative emotions within us. We find something else about Hannah's emotions. Verse 11, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid. That word here means to oppress, to be put down, to depress, to be humiliated, afflicted in misery. And she suffered with depression and humiliation in her life. She felt humiliated, put down by others. Verse 10, it talks about a bitterness of soul. It means, you know, kind of angry, discontented, afflicted in her heart. And she was not happy where she was at in her place. And then we find in verse 15, now know, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. It's a very intense word there in the Hebrew language and comes from a word with hard, severe, difficult, hard-hearted, stiff-necked. And she had a resentment, a hard heart from the circumstances she was facing. And Hannah's soul was in bitterness and overwhelmed. Nowhere to turn. She couldn't even turn to her husband because her husband wouldn't stop the quarreling that she was having with Peninnah. Peninnah would just come after her like a raging dog. And Hannah felt like a nothing. What's she to do? Does she retaliate? Is she to utter slander and defame her accuser who dealt a death blow for her will to even live, as it found in verse 7, and did not, she wept and did not eat. Hannah doesn't even want to eat. How is Hannah to respond to a perceived curse of God upon her life? The assault of the enemy. Will her life go on as a barren woman? Will she be empty? But something happens in verse 9. There they are and they've gone to the tabernacle and they're worshiping together. And it says, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. So she gets up and she goes to the place of worship and prayer. She went to the very place, you find that Peninnah, her actions there in the tabernacle in that area were very mechanical. The glory of the Lord had been sullied or had been lowered by the immoral actions of Eli's sons who were sleeping with women who came to the tabernacle of the congregation. Elkanah, being a godly man, despite having two wives, his heart was grieved and she poured out her soul and everything she was. And Hannah did. A broken woman, destitute of joy, excuse me. And she vows a vow, verse 11. Hannah realizes, I have nowhere else to turn. I'm at the bottom of the barrel. I have nothing left. Realize this in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Hannah was desperate. She could not let go, and she just prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, God, I want a child. God, if you give me a child, I promise you, I will give him to you. And she knew of no one else who was capable of causing her to bear a son who could open her womb. She should have resorted to this at first rather than going through all the emotional distraught, all the turmoil that would be within. But she didn't retaliate against Peninnah. She didn't seek to lower the esteem of Peninnah, this woman who was very critical. We would understand that. Look with me at Isaiah 51. What would have happened had Hannah responded? And Isaiah 51, verse 12, gives us that very idea of what would have happened had Hannah responded in this. But Hannah's an example of a woman, a mother, ultimately a mother, that showed a lot of control of her actions. In verse 12 of Isaiah 51, I am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die and of the son of man which shall be made as grass? And forgettest the Lord thy maker that hath stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth and has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? Understand this, if she would have come against Peninnah, she would have been refusing the very comfort of God. In Romans chapter 12, dearly beloved, verse 19 particularly, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And so Hannah says, God, I am tormented. She's in a place of deep darkness. In verses 12 through 17, Hannah is a woman of persistence. Now, her husband showed her great sympathy. There was some of the selfish pleadings. He says, am I not greater to you than 10 sons? And, you know, he's like, hey, look at me. I try to be a best husband to you. But Hannah displays a tremendous persistence. Hannah would cling to the hope and faith of God's capability, rather than placing her energies into revenge and stewing bitterness. It reminds me of the story there in Luke 18 of that widow woman. They would come to the judge, and she kept pleading and pleading and pleading with this judge. And the judge in verse 4 of Luke 18, and he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Hannah was persistent. She didn't care that Eli would even think she's a drunk woman because she's pouring out her heart to God. She prays so hard that Eli makes the assumption that she is a drunken woman. Now, assumptions can get us into a great deal of unnecessary hardships. Hannah wanted to hear from God. She didn't want to leave without the assurance of God. If you think about this, as she said, I'm not a daughter of Belial. You know, Hannah equates here that the drinking of an alcoholic beverage would associate with her with being a daughter of Satan. Thus, a Christian is to have nothing to do with alcohol. That's just a quick aside, a brief aside on that. I noticed that if you think about that. But I want to ask you a question. If you see the persistence of Hannah, bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore, You ever have those times in your life, you're empty and you're broken and you're saying, God, I don't know what to do. And you and God, and you're transparent with all your heart before Him, and you lay it all on the table. What is it going to take to prompt you to prayer? Does the oppression of others or your own cause, you know, your own, maybe for Aunt Hannah's case, you know, her own ineptitude, she couldn't have children, and cause us to despair or deep prayer? Hannah, she did despair at first, but she realized, this isn't getting me anywhere. I need to go to God. And Hannah would take her pain to the Lord, but something happens, and she goes in there, and Eli, you know, said, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. So we find she is a woman that kept her promises. In verses 17 through 20, verse 20, wherefore it came to pass when the time was come after that Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. In an act of mercy, the Lord would answer Hannah's plea and allow Eli to admit the Lord heard her prayer. Notice with me something that happened after he tells her, verse 18. So he tells her, the God of Israel grant thee thy petition, verse 17, verse 18. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat. Verse 7, she's not eating. Eli tells her, you're going to have a child. Her mood, her mind immediately changes before she's ever had a child, before she ever knows she's pregnant. She says, I know that's from the Lord. She put her faith in God. The attacks, the drivel of Penina no longer bothered her. She says, you know what? It's just a bunch of nothingness. She's speaking a whole lot of blah, blah, blah. And she was confident in God's blessings and His promises. In Matthew 21:22, in all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive, Hannah took God at His word. She went her way, verse 18, and her countenance was no more sad, and they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord. Hannah gets up and praises God. Her whole mind is changed. I want to ask you, when God gives us the promises of life, do you take these promises and does it change your perspective of life? Hannah is praying so hard. She doesn't even know she's pregnant yet. But yet she knows her prayer is answered. You realize in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Without faith, Hannah's whole countenance changed. Prayers and desires of so many years were soon to be realized. You can say, well, that's easy. We can read that, you know, we know she had a child. And, you know, we can look back at Hannah. But put yourself in Hannah's shoes. You are seen as accursed by society. Your husband's other wife, which again, as I mentioned this morning, God is against polygamy completely. But Penina is coming against her with such ferocity that she is driven to the place of utter despair. Eli, the priest, who is, you know, his sons are completely ungodly. Eli himself is compromised. And Hannah is pouring out her heart to God. Eli says, God's going to grant you your petition. Okay, yeah, okay, whatever, you know. She doesn't take it that way. You know what in Psalms 37:4 it tells us? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee desires in thine heart. Hannah comes to the place, she says, I just need God. She realizes the emptiness of her emotions. She realizes the emptiness of her life, and she becomes transparent before the Lord. And she did so with an offering of her firstborn son to the Lord for His service. We find something else about her. So she went from emptiness to elation to joy. She went from weeping to worship. She's eating and she's confident in the Lord's promises. In fact, chapter 2 will reveal her heart. In verse 24, So she holds the child back from going to worship on the yearly sacrifice until she's weaned that child. Verse 24, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. The question is, if you think about this, from weeping to worship, do you realize that hope in God promised, that hope in God's promises, though yet unrealized, causes one to change their mental state? Hannah's entire countenance changed because of the promise of God. Not yet realized. It is the hope, when we can change our mind from the place of our despair and our depression and our seemingly destruction of life, and I begin to just trust the promises of God, it will take me from the place of despair to the place of victory in my mind. Hannah goes from looking at herself and looking at Penina and looking at what she doesn't have to what God will give her. And she delighted herself in the Lord. A tragedy was averted because she goes to the Lord in prayer. God heard her desperation, and she believed the report given to her. I'd like you to look with me at Psalm 28, verse 6. Psalm 28, verse 6. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. And therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. In this verse here, there's a reciprocal relationship of trust and rejoicing. Hannah at first was trusting in herself. Trusting, and she and Elkanah and their relationship. She went from refusing and rejecting their relationship and said, I'm just going to trust God. I'm going to plead with him. I'm going to cry out to him. And Eli gives her an answer. She says, I'm going to trust God. And when she began to look, get off of herself and get on to God, it went from the place of despair to victory. It changed her mental state. The outcome of trust in Psalm 28 and the outcome of trust here is ultimately a great rejoicing of heart. There can be a despair because of a lack of trust in God in our hearts and a lack of knowledge of Him. There's an emphasis many times in our lives of God providing material things so that I may continue in my life of independence of God. And Hannah had tried that for a while, but it didn't work. And she puts her faith and trust exclusively in God. You realize in James chapter 4, verse 3, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lust. People are praying and praying and praying for things that are only so that they can continue to live in their lust. And God's saying, I'm not going to answer it. When you were in your last state of despair for your own life, did you choose to trust the Lord or trust your fear and worry? Could it be there's so much weeping because there's not enough worshiping of God and living by faith in Him? 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Hannah's life had to get to the place that she distrusted God. I mean, that's the exact same thing that happened to Mary, Jesus' mother. You would find that also there in Elizabeth. 1 Chronicles 16:8, give thanks in the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Hannah, she would go back, she would worship the Lord, she would return home, and she and her husband would come together and conceive a child. What was it that changed Hannah's heart and mind? It was her trust in the Lord. Isaiah 48:17-18, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Hannah says, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to go back. I'm going to worship. I'm going to just praise your name. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. And we can come to I have come to this place. You know, there's times in my life I come to this place and I just say, God, I need your peace. I said, if you would have just followed me, just trust me. I'm going to do something. You know what? There's no peace with the Lord when there's no trust in His Word. John 7:38, He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Hannah found peace because in her desperation she just says, Lord, I'm just going to trust you. And she would end up going, verses 22 through 24, let's read this, and then we'll look at verses 27 and 28. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, and that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good, tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode, and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bullocks, and one ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. Verse 27. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. And therefore also I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth. He shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Hannah goes from prayer to performance. Her prayer was not, oh, praise God, he gave me a child. Hallelujah. She didn't stop in that position. You know, sometimes we pray for something, God provides it, and then we selfishly deal with that situation. God gives us something that maybe we've really been longing to have. And then when we're given that by God's grace, we're very selfish with it. Her prayer and her faith transcends, her life transcends beyond just trust and faith. It becomes a very way of life for her. She says, only the Lord establishes word. And she weans him and she teaches him in the things of the Lord. She wanted Samuel to know the Lord. It ought to be the heart and desire of every parent today to want their child to go on and serve God by faith the rest of their life. When you think about this, the how of raising a child. And Hannah, she would raise her son and he was a godly, godly priest. In Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The raising of children, according to the precepts of God, is the responsibility of the parents. To make a mighty civilian there in society. It also tells us there in Deuteronomy chapter 11, if you'd like to turn with me there, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18. Not to be our ambitions. Obviously, things can happen, but our ambition is raise children to love the Lord. Verse 18 of Deuteronomy 11. And therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house, and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. For ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to cleave unto him. Then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. God tells us, if you want to give your child the best chance at a future, teach them the Bible. Make God, church, and the Bible more important than any hobby, sport, or job. Place a preeminence upon God. It's not to let sports or job or hobbies interfere with faithful, steady, and working attendance at God's house. One of the things from my own family that I would learn from my parents growing up, and I'm thankful for this, was a faithfulness to God's house. I learned to get involved in God's house as a young child. And my parents were involved in many aspects of church throughout the years. I'm thankful for my parents' love for church and service to God. You can't be a good Christian and not a member of a local church. You're on the fringe. Hannah taught her son the principles of God's Word. And Hannah, her child, would go on to love the Lord. Eli was not a, he was a man that had compromised. And God, while there's a compromised minister, God had someone waiting in the wings to take over. And Hannah would go on to keep on praising the Lord. The cause of praise. She remembered her covenant with God. In verse 26, and she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. She comes back and brings the child to Eli, and she said, remember that woman that you saw some years ago that was seemingly drunk? I'm that woman. And this is the child I promised for the Lord. She kept her praise. Her praise did not just begin when God gave her the promise, you're going to have a child. No, the continuance of her life realized, listen, God is in control. Hannah needed the promises of God. She received those promises and she lived her life in praise. She knew she was raising the next true servant of God. And you think about this, and the child was young. Actually, the same word is used twice and is transliterated first as child. And I'm reading a little quote here. Second time as young. The word most frequently is translated as young man, then a servant, child, lad, youth, boy. Several other miscellaneous senses, including babe. However, the greater sense is not of a toddler. The phrase could conceivably be rendered and the boy was a lad. The etymology or the history of this word, of the words at hand, as well as the context to follow, seems to indicate Samuel was not a 2 or 3 year old toddler when he was brought to Eli. Rather, he may have been at the second or third stage of weaning as described in other verses. Precisely what is implied is not clear. Some people would assume he was 2 or 3. Other Jewish authorities would seem, you know, there's 3 stages of weaning. The first stage was 2 or 3. The second stage was a toddler. You know, and tender age and care of a dry nurse at age 7. And the last could have been at age 12. It indicates most likely, you know, he was obviously past his mother's nursing. And it leans toward potentially the older age. Irrespective of his age, he was a young boy. And he would go on to serve the Lord. Look with me, 1 Samuel 2:11. And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. So obviously, there's enough maturity that he's serving the Lord before Eli. Kind of the sense of a young man. When we read the verses of verse 26 through 28, chapter 1, we see a mother whose entire being was changed. How? She just simply trusted the Lord. She never accepted any praise for this child, but boldly exclaimed that he was a gift, a product of the Lord. The Lord had given her her prayer. And this child would go on to worship the Lord, as we would note in verse 28, and he worshiped the Lord there in the tabernacle. An act of praise to God is to instill and model a love for Christ. You find in Psalm 127:4, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. And you think about this, that Hannah would raise her son, Samuel, to a place that he would serve the Lord. And God would eventually speak to him there. And Eli would say, go back and say, answer, Lord, here am I. Or that's truth there, that idea. And Hannah's commitment to praise. Hannah made a commitment to praise. If you read verses 1 through 10, I want to read this just as you think about Hannah's prayer. She's already given her son over. Can you imagine the heartache somewhat? I mean, you're giving your child over into the service of the Lord there in the temple. There's great praise. I mean, she can see him, obviously. She can go back to Shiloh anytime and see him. But he's no longer at home. But I want you to notice that her commitment to prayer was not, God, I really want to get pregnant. No. God, I want to have a son. No. God, I just want to raise him right. And God gave her everything, the desires of her heart. And she gives him over to the temple, there in the tabernacle with Eli. In verse 1 of chapter 2, and Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord, my horn is exalted in the Lord, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly, let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken. They that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread. They that were hungry cease, so that the barren hath borne 7. And she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among the princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath sent the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. And the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces, out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed." And Hannah just begins to praise the Lord after she gives her son over to the service of God. The idea here of Lent here is, you could also see it in Exodus chapter 12, verse 36, as the Israelites are leaving Egypt, that word, "so that they lent to them such things as they required." The Egyptians would give to the Jewish people, the Hebrews, the Hebrew children, give them, they would lend unto them, but it's really giving to them, and they would end up using those items later on, later, many, many years later. And so this, she's giving him, it's not just a loan, it's a, ultimately she's giving Samuel to the Lord. She acknowledges her joy in the Lord. If you think about this, she states in verse 1, her victory over her enemy. "God, you've given me victory over my," really over Penina. "Your holiness and exclusivity of your foundation is you alone. God, you're a God of knowledge and science, you know, and will silence the wise. You protect me. You're well armored. You feed me and when I'm hungry, and you starve those who may be full. You provide for the barren and famished the mother. God, you're in control of life. You're in control of wealth. You can lift up a beggar. You can lift up a poor person to a place of privilege and elevated position in society. Lord, the earth is yours. You protect and you guard. You keep the steps of your saints. Those who are evil, they'll abide in darkness and lose their strength to prevail." Can you imagine when Hannah announces to the family, Elkanah announces to Penina, "I'm pregnant"? What grounds does the enemy have to now come against her? Penina had lost her elevated status, the being the one to carry on the family name. It's Hannah. Verse 10, "The adversaries of the Lord are destroyed." Who got the upper hand here? Who was it that would ultimately be victorious over the enemy, over the gainsayer, the naysayer? It was Hannah. She did it by living her life in faith and trust. She let God be the judge. She didn't, when she went to prayer, it wasn't, "God, please shut the mouth of Penina. God, please take my enemy away. No, Lord, please give me a child." Hannah's life was radically changed when she realized the character and nature of God and began to simply trust God and take Him at His word. As I come to the conclusion this evening, Hannah's unmet expectation of a child. Two ladies with unmet expectations. Penina, she wanted the love and affection of her husband. She wanted to have it over Hannah. And so because she had an unmet expectation, she began to criticize and gossip and just come harsh against Hannah. Hannah, she would get frustrated and she would take it and internalize until finally she says, "Listen, I just need to get to God." And she did. And Hannah would have a heritage. In fact, she would go on and have other children. In verse 20 and 21 of chapter 2, if you'd like to look with me there, 1 Samuel 2:20, "And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, 'The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord.' And they went unto their own home, and the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord." Amazing. Peninnah wanted greater affection and love. And she returned her unmet expectations with criticism, harsh words, and carnal thinking. Of these two women and their unmet expectations, one chose the correct path. She would have a seed of godliness. The other would endure and go to the grave in feebleness and emptiness. Whether you're a mother, a father, a believer, our reaction to adversity and unmet expectations will determine whether you leave only dust and ashes upon your death or gold and riches for eternity through the lives you affect. Hannah's legacy is still spoken of today because of her faith in God. When I ask you this evening and ask of myself, you know, even the question, what is our response to unmet expectations? Criticism, envy, gossip, backbiting, as Peninnah, or like Hannah, fervent prayer, complete trust in God, a life of faith to God, a life to raise your child for God, a life of praise to God. Hannah's faith and joy in the Lord started before she was ever received a child. She went back and ate and had joy in her heart because simply she took God at His word. There's a lot of promises for us as believers. And when we look at our problems and our situations and we have unmet expectations, I should be here, I should have this in my life, and I begin to dwell on that, it changes me for the worse. But if I just look to God's Word, and I look at the promises, and I look at the goodness and the grace and the mercy and the love and the compassion and the empathy of God, and I take Him at His Word, I can live there in the joy and the peace of God. Only you can decide what you do with your unmet expectations. May the faith of Hannah be your example to take any unmet expectations and bring them before the Lord. What a blessing that Hannah would go on to bear three sons and two daughters. A woman who was barren is barren no longer. Could it have been because her faith was barren? And God just says, "Hannah, I want you just to take what you have. Come before Me. And watch Me do something amazing." God blesses many times over. May we let faith and fervency of prayer be our answer to any criticism and unmet expectations. And this evening, before you can ever deal with any of these issues of criticism or unmet expectations, number one, you got to settle in your heart, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you died tonight, do you know if you're going to heaven or do you know if you're going to hell? Only you know that, and the Spirit of God will confirm it in your heart. And if you've never asked Him to save you, I trust that you would tonight by simple faith. And as a Christian, may we live our lives in the way Hannah did, not at the first, but by taking these unmet expectations and simply bring them before the throne of grace. In the fervency of prayer and a trust in the promises of God, get up and live in the joy and the peace of Almighty God. It's simply trusting the Lord. As we come to the time of invitation with heads bowed and eyes closed, just to challenge you and the thought of heart. Two mothers with unmet expectations. One, she dealt with them by her emotions. The second, dealt with them in faith. With heads bowed and eyes closed, when you're done praying, would you look back up? And I will conclude in prayer and we'll dismiss after that.